Isaiah 66, verse 13. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Let's pray together this morning. God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for bringing us here today to church to worship you together, God, and to fellowship with each other and to hear your word today. I pray that you would come and speak to us this morning. I humble myself before you, God, and I ask that you will use me to preach your word to our congregation today. I thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this time. We worship you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you don't know me, my name is Pastor Nate, and I am a youth pastor, worship pastor here at the church. And our pastor, senior pastor, Pastor Sam, is in Singapore preaching a message, being a guest speaker at another church in Singapore. So I have the privilege of coming before you today. And just today, I want to begin by honoring our moms. I know we've already given them a gift this morning, but if we could ask our mothers to stand up one more time, why don't we just give them a round of applause for who they are and for all the work that they've put in to be the moms. And today is Mother's Day Sunday. So, as today is Mother's Day Sunday, we're going to take a short break from our the Lord's Prayer series, and I'm going to share a little bit about mothers today. And it was interesting that as I was preparing for this message, my mom actually made a surprise visit to Hong Kong on Wednesday. I had no idea she was coming, and I was rushing home early actually to do my laundry. I had to take it to the laundromat, and I was like, I gotta go home. So I was rushing home, and I checked my phone, and there's a message on my phone. So I listened to the message, and my mom is in town, and she's like, okay, hey, Nate, I'm home, so please call me. So I call her, and I get home, and, you know, what a difference a mom makes, you know. As soon as I get home, I see that the laundry has been folded. The one that has been already done is folded, and the laundry is being washed. And there's one thing that my mom always does when she's home, and I'll just share with you this little story. When Matt and I, my brother and I, when we first moved into our flat, there was a little gap between the main door and the ground. So there was a little gap, and we didn't think much of it. But as we all know, Hong Kong is one thing that most of us are really afraid of is cockroaches, right? There's a ton of cockroaches here in Hong Kong. And we saw some in the hallway, but we didn't think much of it until one night I am sleeping in my bed, and I feel something crawl across my face. And I must have known, my sixth sense must have known. So I jumped up out of bed and I saw this black thing crawl down my bed. So I jump out of my bed, I turn on the light, and I'm looking, and I see a giant cockroach at the foot of my bed. So I got the spray and I killed it, and I promise you, I had a hard time sleeping for a long time. And since then, I found little cockroaches like under my bed and near my bed. It was quite disturbing. But I told my, I told that to my mom, and we decided we're gonna get cockroach traps and put them all over the house. And we've also covered up the gap. But that's something. I don't know if you guys know this, but cockroach traps need to be replaced every 6 months or so. But that's just something that I don't do, you know. It's just, I don't get around to doing it. So I always just wait for my mom to come to town. And that's something that she does for us. So every time she comes to town, she'll call and say, hey, I'm coming over. You need to go get some new cockroach traps so that I can replace them. And so it's amazing what a mom can do. I'll tell you a little story. A teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on the magnet and what it does. The next day in a written test, she included this question. My full name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? When the test papers were turned in, the teacher was astonished to find that almost 50% of the students answered the question with the word mother. So we all know what a difference a mother makes and how much a mother puts in the effort to make the home and work and to raise the children. So I just want to encourage our moms today. And just a disclaimer, we're going to talk about mothers today, but I want to make a disclaimer to our fathers, that fathers are also very, very important in the family. And we know that God reveals himself to us in the form of a father, right? So I do not want to diminish the role of fathers, but I just want to highlight the role of mothers today as this is Mother's Day Sunday. If you could turn with me to 2 Timothy. This is not the main message, by the way. I just want to begin by encouraging our moms. So please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Second Timothy 1, 3 through 5. It says this, I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. This is Paul writing a letter to his spiritual son Timothy. And Paul is saying to Timothy, I saw the faith that was in your grandmother that is now in your mother Eunice, and now it's been carried down to you. And if you read Acts chapter 16, it seems to imply that Timothy's mom was a believer while Timothy's father was not. Right, so we can see the significant role that a mother has, the ability to instill faith in your children. And I just want to say that your role as mothers is very, very significant. And the responsibility is great. And with that responsibility, you know, comes the promise of God. Right? God says in Joshua 1:9 to you, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And again in Deuteronomy 31:6 and Hebrews 13:5, he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So I just want to encourage our moms first of all today that as you, because I know we have a lot of young moms just embarking on this journey of mothering our kids and trying to instill faith into them. And you have a great responsibility, but you also have a great promise from God that he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. And he will be the one to help you and guide you and to strengthen you and to lead you in this journey. So I just want to thank you. I just want to bless you with that. I just want to encourage you with that. And we'll get on to the main message. The title of the message today is called A Mother's Love. Very simple, A Mother's Love. We all need to be loved, right? We all know that. That it's one of the fundamental needs of human beings is to be loved. If you have watched the movie Moulin Rouge, it begins with this line, the greatest thing you will ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. There's a need to be loved inside each of us, and we look for it in many different places. Right? We look for it in relationships. We look for it sometimes through entertainment. We look for it in friendships. We look for it in marriages, boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. But I believe that the greatest example of love, and I'm sure many of us will agree, that the greatest example of love that we can find on this earth is found in a mother's love. There's a song in Korea. I don't know about Western culture, but I grew up in Korea. I was there till I was 11. And Mother's Day is May 8th, not the second Sunday of May, but for us Koreans, Mother's Day, we have a Parents' Day. May 8th is our Parents' Day, and we have a song that we sing, but it's only specifically directed to the mom. And it kind of goes like this. We say, go something like this. People say that the heavens are high, but to me, there is something else that is high, and it's my mother's grace or my mother's love. You know, people say the ocean is wide, but to me, there is another thing that is wide, and it's my mother's grace. And it's a song that we sing to our mom on Mother's Day, on May 8th, to just thank them and to remember, you know, the love that the mother has for us. And we know that a child first learns love through his or her mother. And there is really no other love that can compete with the love of a mother, right? We all need love, but the greatest example of love that we can find on this earth, it comes from the love of a mother. So I'm going to talk about just my reflections on a mother's love, and I have four simple points that we're going to go through. So the first point, a mother's love is patient. First point is a mother's love is patient. And another word for patience, we know that it's long-suffering. It just means that we suffer for a long time, long-suffering. And I believe the best illustration of this long-suffering is pregnancy and the giving of birth. You know, we have a lot of pregnant moms at this church. It's amazing. God has blessed our church. And a few years back, I remember we used to be a church full of singles, you know. And I used to be one of the youngest people at the church, you know. But now time has gone by and we've had couples come to our church, but we've also had couples get together and get married, and people are getting pregnant, married, engaged, all over the place. And it's a beautiful thing. And so I've witnessed it because I'm always around pregnant moms. You know, you come to church, you see pregnant moms everywhere, and you witness the pain and the endurance that the moms have to go through for their child, right? People always say that once you have a child, everything changes. People say that once you have a child that your life is over, you know? The life as you know it is over because everything changes. And I believe the change begins right at conception. You know, right as you become pregnant, your life has changed. And it begins with excitement. You know, there is the excitement of getting pregnant and you're, wow, you know, it's amazing. God has blessed us with a child. But then comes the morning sickness, you know. And then comes the nausea, and it comes the discomfort and the back pain. I remember when, you know, one of the very first pregnant moms after Lisa was Annie, Pastor Sam Kim's wife, Annie. And she was pregnant, and we're trying to look for a gift for her. And she requested a pregnancy pillow. It's this large pillow, round thing. And she said because there's so much back pain, like she just needs to, I don't know what she does with it, but she's talked about the back pain that she experiences. And you see that in moms. And moms have to sacrifice certain foods, sacrifice certain activities, because of this child. And then, of course, there is the pain of childbirth. And I just cannot imagine. I can't imagine what that pain is going to be like. And as Pastor Sam always says, I'm just thankful that I'm a male and that I don't have to go through this pain. But we can imagine, you know, how painful that is, but all for love, all for the birth of this child, a mother will go through all sorts of suffering, all sorts of just enduring different discomfort and pain and sacrificing different things for the love of the child. And if that is not a picture of long-suffering, I don't know what is. So a mother's love, number one, is patient. It's long-suffering. And number two, a mother's love is sacrificial. A mother's love is sacrificial. Mom always wants to give the best for the child. And I keep talking about Korea, so I apologize, but I'm Korean. You know, our two other pastors are Americans. They all talk about America, so I'll talk about Korea. And there's a song in Korea by a group called G.O.D. And if you are Korean and you grew up in Korea, you know this song. It's called To My Mother. And it's a beautiful song. And Koreans are so good at this. They're so good at tugging at your heartstrings. You know, and this song is about a widow and her son. And it's the son who is singing this song to his mom. And he says, you know, my family used to be poor. You know, we didn't have very much. And my mom is working to provide for the family. So I would come home And there would be nobody at home, so I would have to cook instant noodles by myself to feed myself. And one day I got so sick and tired of eating instant noodles, so I lost it at my mom. I yelled at my mom. I said, I'm sick of instant noodles. Why can't we go out and eat something nice? So mom finally decides to take out money, pull out money from the emergency fund to take this child out to get 짜장면, right? 짜장면, it's a very popular dish in Korea, and it's not even that fancy. I would say the Western equivalent would be pizza, right? So the mom takes this kid out to have 짜장면, and he's happily eating the 짜장면. He's remembering this thing, and he's eating the 짜장면, but he notices that his mom's not eating. So he says, Mom, why aren't you eating 짜장면? And the mom says, I don't like 짜장면. And as he's singing that song, do you guys get it? The mom says, I don't like 짜장면 because she knows we can't afford it. So she gets one for the kid and she just says, I don't like 짜장면. And the whole song is about this mom. And it just, if you listen to the song and if you understood Korean, man, it would make you cry. It makes you cry every time you hear the song. And Koreans are good at that. But a mom's love is sacrificial. I want to tell you a story about my own mother. I was once at a family retreat. I was little. I was about 7 or 8 years old. And we're at a family retreat. And we're at this prayer mountain in Korea. And at the prayer mountain, there's a little stream. Kind of down the hill, there's a little river, a little stream. So I was there with a few of other young children. We're playing down by the river. And my mom's there washing the clothes, doing laundry. Once again, my mom's doing laundry, right? She's doing laundry by the river, and I'm playing, and she's done with laundry, so she goes back up to hang the laundry, and she wants to go back inside, you know, to go to the meeting, to pray or whatever. But as she tells the story, she says something just kept telling her to go back down to the river. So she had a towel, I guess she dropped it or something, so she didn't really have to wash it again, but something just kept pulling her to go back down to the river. So she's got a towel and she's walking back down to the river, and as she's coming down, she hears me and the other children crying, you know, wailing. And so she's running down, and she sees that we're covered by these wasps, these bees, and they're stinging us all over, right? So my mom, like quick thinking, she's like, oh no. So she decides that she's going to wave this towel around to attract the bees to herself. So she's thinking, if I make a loud scene, a big thing, big movement, the bees will be attracted to me, so that my children, or my child and the other children will be able to escape. So she's running down the hill, waving this towel, and the bees are getting attracted to her. And so she's telling us, while the bees are surrounding her, she's saying, telling us to run away and get away to safety. So we run away, and my mom eventually makes it back to safety. But obviously she had, you know, she had been stung all over her body, her belly button, her head, all over her body. And that's sacrifice, you know? I had to ask my mom this week about the story. And I was like, so thankful. I was like, thank you for doing that, mom. Thank you for sacrificing your own well-being, you know? And that's a mother's love, you know? And that's what a mother does. And so that's point number two. A mother's love is sacrificial. First is mother's love is patient. Second is a mother's love is sacrificial. And the third point, a mother's love is unconditional. We have a lot of babies at church. We have a lot of pregnant moms at church. So the next thing is we have a lot of babies at church. And it's beautiful, right? Babies are beautiful. Babies are so cute. We love to play with them. Us singles, we love to play with the babies. We love to hold them. We're always fighting to get their attention, and we're giving them food and playing with them and just, you know, trying to get some attention, get some love from the babies. But what all of us know, the singles, what we all know is that our love is temporary. And as soon as the baby stops being lovable, As soon as the baby stops being lovely, what do? We find mom. We say, oh, baby's crying. Where's mom? Oh, baby pooped. Where is mom? Oh, baby threw up. Where is mom? Baby's throwing a tantrum. Where is mom? As soon as the baby stops being lovely, we give them back to the mom because we know that the mother's love is unconditional, whereas our love is temporary. It's conditional. There's a figure in the Bible that really is a good picture of this unconditional love of mothers. And it comes in 2 Samuel chapter 21. And her name is Rizpah. And she is one of King Saul's concubines. She's one of King Saul's concubines. And the story goes that before Saul is king, Israel, the nation, makes a covenant with the people of Gibeon, with the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites actually trick Israel to make a covenant with them that says that the Israelites will not destroy the Gibeonites. They will not fight against them. They will not eliminate. They will not annihilate the Gibeonites. So they make a covenant with that. But when Saul becomes king, he gets really excited and really pumped up one day. And so he goes and attacks Gibeon, and he tries to destroy them, but he fails. But because he's already broken the covenant, when David becomes king after Saul, Israel experiences a three-year famine. There's a famine that is in Israel for 3 years. So David doesn't know what's going on. So he seeks God's guidance. And as he is seeking the Lord reveals to him that Saul had broken the covenant with the Gibeonites and that he needs to make it right for this curse to be lifted. So David finds the Gibeonites and asks, you know, what must I do to make amends? And while we do not understand the cruelty of this time, what they say, what the Gibeonites demand is for the death of 7 of Saul's descendants. And not just the death of them, but for them to be left out on a hill, that they will not have an honorable burial, but that they will be just left on a hill to be eaten by the wild animals and to be, to be left out there. So David chooses 7 of Saul's descendants, and 2 of them happen to be Rizpah's sons. And he hands them over to the Gibeonites, who kill them, and they expose their bodies on a hill, adding insult to injury because they do not want them to go have a proper burial. And I'll just read from 2 Samuel 21, verse 10. So that's kind of the backdrop of the story. And this is verse 10 of 2 Samuel 21. Rizpah, daughter of Aiya, took sackcloth and spread it out for herself on a rock. From the beginning of the harvest till the rain poured down from the heavens on the bodies, she did not let the birds touch them by day or the wild animals by night. When David was told what Aiya's daughter Rizpah, Saul's concubine, had done, he went and took the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan from the citizens of Jabesh Gilead. They had stolen their bodies from the public square at Bethshan, where the Philistines had hung them after they struck Saul down on Gilboa. David brought the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan from there, and the bones of those who had been killed and exposed were gathered up. They buried the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan in the tomb of Saul's father Kish at Zelah in Benjamin and did everything the king commanded. After that, God answered prayer in behalf of the land. See, Rizpah, what she does is because her sons have been killed and they are left in this dishonorable place just to be exposed out in the sun and exposed to wild animals and wild birds, she camps out there and she protects the bodies of her sons from the wild animals and the birds. And the scholars, there is some disagreement about the length of her stay, but most people would say that it was for about at least 4 to 5 months she was out there protecting the bodies. And the bodies would have been decaying and it would have been ugly and there was nothing lovely about the bodies of her sons at this time. Her sons are dead, the bodies are decaying, it's stinky, it's ugly. But she's out there and she loves her sons no matter what. She loves what is unlovely and she goes out there to protect her sons. And David honors that And later on, the sons get an honorable burial where Saul is buried. So a mother's love is unconditional, right? A mother's love is unconditional. So we've looked at three things. A mother's love is patient. It's long-suffering. A mother's love is sacrificial. And a mother's love is unconditional. And if I ended the sermon right now, most of us would be happy. One, because the sermon has ended. We're always happy when the sermon ends. But two, because it is a nice sermon about mothers, right? It's a nice, you know, sermon about how great moms are, and it's a heartwarming sermon about the greatness of the love of the mother. But it would also be lacking, and it would be dishonest, because it wouldn't be an accurate picture of reality. This would just be a nice humanistic message about the greatness of mothers. But the truth is, and this is the fourth point, a mother's love is incomplete. A mother's love is incomplete. The truth is that as good as our moms have been, they have also fallen short in many different areas in our lives. And I just told you about how great my mom is and all these stories about my mom, but truth is, my mom, I mean, she's not perfect. And because of my mother, I have brokenness and pain and hurt and disappointments that I need to deal with, that I need to bring before God. And you know, some of us are going to Cambodia this summer. And if you read some of these books that we're reading to prepare for this trip, it's unbelievable what some mothers will do, because they will take their own little girls and they will sell them for prostitution to make money. So where is the love of mother in that? Where is the greatness of the love of mom in that? And we've all experienced this kind of hurt and disappointment from moms. I'm sure some of us listening to this message is thinking, yeah, my mom's love is like that, but it's not like that all the time. You know, it wasn't sacrificial and unconditional all the time. And some of us can say our moms sometimes have been quite demanding, you know, and sometimes even abusive, sometimes angry, sometimes depressed, sometimes manipulative, right? And at the same time, some of us, we didn't have a mom, you know, whether it was through a divorce or whether it was through an untimely death. You know, we've all experienced pain in regards to our moms. And, you know, and it's the result of our fall. You know, Romans 3:23 tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And while a mom is supposed to be the greatest representation of God's love for us, and we all need love, and the mom is supposed to be the best example, best display of love here on this earth, the truth is that because of mom, we've gone through hurt and disappointment and pain. And the effect of the fall is that we live in an imperfect world where pain, brokenness, and sorrow exist. And no matter how nice a family is, no matter how good a mom has been, it cannot make up for the sin and the ugly effects on our lives of sin. So as I said earlier, one of our fundamental needs is to be loved. And the greatest display of love is the love of a mother. But if that love, if the love of the mom is incomplete, then where can we turn to? What can we do? You know, and we turn to so many things, right? We turn to relationships. We think maybe if I find the right spouse, if I find the right girlfriend, boyfriend, it'll be, my need for love will be met. You know, if I had just to have good friends, if I surround myself with good friends, if I go out with them and hang out with them, drinking, whatever, you know, we think our needs will be met. Or sometimes we just try to fill it with entertainment or other distractions. But we find that everything that we turn to is lacking and it doesn't fully meet our needs. And I just want to turn to Isaiah 49 We could turn to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, 15 to 16. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Where the love of mom fails, we can turn to God. And He is the answer. He is the solution in this problem that we find ourselves in. And if you are a mom here, I'm sure that sometimes it's difficult to be this perfect mom and to be the mom that can really love your child unconditionally and to show the love of God and to instill this faith. But I just want to say that in our own hurting, and in our own disappointments with our mothers, we must turn to God. And in our fear and worry about our own ability to be a mom, we must turn to God because His love is perfect. You know, His love is truly long-suffering and sacrificial and unconditional. And so we must not live in denial or just pretend that, yeah, my mom was perfect. You know, the love of mothers is perfect, you know. We must not live in denial and pretend that our experiences with our moms have been perfect. We must not live in bitterness or anger because our experiences with our mothers have been hurtful or painful. But we must bring our experiences to God. Whether it was good or bad, we must bring our experiences to God. And one, we must thank God for the love of our moms, because all love comes from God, right? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 tells us that love comes from God. So we thank God for the love that our moms are able to show us. But secondly, we bring our experiences of pain and hurt to God and say, and experience the healing that comes from the perfect love. You know, as this is Mother's Day, one of the things that we want to do is honor our moms. And we want to, it's a biblical command, right? Honor your father and mother. And I have found that the best way for me to honor my own father and my own mother is to first experience the love of my heavenly father, you know? Or I don't want to say heavenly mother, but our God. You know, because unless we experience the perfect love of God, it's hard for us to just force ourselves to say, okay, I'm just going to honor my mom and honor my father, even though they have hurt me, even though they have brought pain into my life, and even though they have disappointed me and they have failed me in these different ways, I'm just going to honor them. And you just can't force yourself to do it. And there was one time where God was really calling me to honor my father, and I just couldn't do it until I realized that I have a heavenly father that is perfect, and that's why I can honor my father. And I believe it works the same way with our moms. We have, because God is not, He's without gender. God, He reveals Himself to us as a father, but He is without gender, and that love that God brings to us is both the love of a father and the love of a mother. That tender, caring love of a mother, it originates from God just as much as, you know, the affirming and the calling out of destiny kind of love that the Father has for us comes from God. And so unless we experience that and we turn to that and we just kind of embrace that love, you know, and receive the healing that comes from that, we're not going to be able to truly honor our mom and honor our dad the way we're called to. So on this Mother's Day, first I want to really thank our moms, because even though it's incomplete, their love is patient and long-suffering and sacrificial and unconditional. But also, I want us to focus on that, because really the love of our moms, it points to the source of love, which is God, and it points to His unconditional and sacrificial and long-suffering love. So this morning, I want to invite everyone to turn to God and receive His love. And Mon's going to come up, our worship team's going to come up. They're going to lead us in a song talking about the love of God. And I just want us to do that. If we could just close our eyes and let the love of God come and bring healing to your heart and to bring restoration to your heart. And if you do have struggles in your heart with your mom, you know, if you have pain and hurt, disappointments, or if you are a mom and you're worried about your child and you have different thoughts and worries about your child, well, let's turn to our Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother, and receive His perfect love, and pray for our children to receive His perfect love. Because it is not your love, but it is the love of God that's going to bring true healing and true wholeness, that's going to meet this need for love that we all have as human beings. God, thank you for your love for your children. God, thank you that while our earthly mothers, our earthly parents have been imperfect, God, in their love for us, God, that your love is complete. You love us till the end. And God, I pray that our church members, God, here today will really experience your love, and that will bring healing to their hearts. On this Mother's Day Sunday, we truly want to honor our moms. We want to love our moms. But God, I know that we cannot truly do that unless we have experienced, received your healing in our hearts that comes from your perfect love. So would you come and bring your healing to our hearts, God? We thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Let's rise to our feet. We're gonna continue singing our Lord's Prayer because just that's what we do, you know. And we're gonna have, this is just a minor break from the series on Lord's Prayer. So we're gonna continue. So we're gonna sing this song, and I'll bless you. And shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace from this day forever. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. We'll see you next week.